Good evening, church. Good to see every one of you here tonight for another period of worship to our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you would, take out your Bible with me and turn to Philippians, the fourth chapter. We're going to continue our series tonight in the book of Philippians, and we're going to hone in on verse 5 briefly together, Philippians chapter 4. Verse 5. All of us have certain heroes in our life, those that we look up to, those that we admire, those that we want to imitate and be like as we journey through this life. All of us have those people in our lives and our hearts that say, I want to be like this person. As I think about the heroes in my life, the people that I try to pattern my own life after, one attribute that each one of my personal heroes in the faith have, one attribute that they possess, is the attribute of gentleness. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. This attribute, this Christian attribute of gentleness. Remember that we have introduced this chapter as talking about spiritual stability. Paul says, stand firm. Therefore, stand firm. Since you have Jesus Christ as your treasure, stand firm in Him. Stand your ground. The world, the flesh, and the devil, they pound on the door of our hearts and they rock the boat of our spiritual stability. So it's imperative that we stand firm, that we stand in our ground amidst this evil world that we're living in. And that idea is true for our passage tonight. Paul tells us again another principle of how we stand firm in the faith, in our Christian journey, in our Christian walk, how we stand our ground. And that is by imitating the Apostle Paul, who imitates Jesus, imitating their own spirit of gentleness. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, the first part of the verse, Paul says, let, and this is the New American Standard, Paul says, let your gentle spirit be known. Now, before we dive into this, I think that there's value, great value, in focusing our minds briefly on this word rendered gentle in the New American Standard. In Greek, it's the adjective epikeis, and in the King James, it's rendered moderation. In the Christian Standard, it's rendered graciousness, and in the ESV, it's rendered reasonableness. Which all help us to taste the original idea of what this adjective is communicating to us. This adjective is describing someone who is a living portrait, a living picture of spiritual stability, one who is considerate and one who is kind and gracious to all that they come in contact with. One who has disciplined themselves to live with emotional moderation and express appropriate emotions at the right time, at the appropriate times. This idea communicates one who carries themselves as a non-anxious presence in the presence of others, one who's always under control, one who's always emotionally reliable, allowing others to trust that their demeanor will not change on a whim, giving all reason to feel comfort and security in this person's presence. This is communicating, this adjective is describing one who deals with other people rationally, one who deals with other people reasonably whenever disagreements occur in the Christian life or relational conflicts arise, one who always keeps the best interest of the other in mind, even in the midst of strife and disagreement and turmoil. It describes one who in all respects is gentle, one who is temperate, one who is tender, even amidst the weaknesses and failings of other people. And in fact, this adjective here, it's actually a biblical requirement for one to hold the office of an elder. And we see that within 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If you would, turn with me there. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. This text says, "The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, elder, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle." The same adjective that's portrayed in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. So we see here that it's a biblical mandate for an elder to embody this kind of gentle, moderate, gracious, reasonable stability within their life. One who is emotionally secure. One whose anger is not going to just flare up instantaneously or on a whim. One that behaves like a ticking time bomb that's ready to explode at any moment in the presence of others, causing all people to be anxious around them. And I can honestly say that every single one of our five elders here embody this kind of gentle spirit. And that's something for us to be thankful for sure. However, it isn't just an elder that's required to pursue this kind of gentle, moderate, temperate, reasonable, gracious spirit. It's all Christians. All of us should be striving to embrace, to embody this kind of attitude within our life. Notice what Paul says in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. First of all, verses 1 through 2, and then we'll finish the rest of the passage. He says, "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities." And he's talking about just the church body in general. "To be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle." Same adjective that's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. "And to show perfect courtesy toward all people." This should be the goal of every single one of us as God's people, to embody this kind of spirit, this kind of gracious, moderate, reasonable, gentle spirit, because this attitude is one of the foundational building blocks of our spiritual stability. When conflicts happen, when disputes arise and occur, when the flesh, when the devil, and when the world rock the boat of our spiritual stability, it's the gentle who bring peace in the midst of a storm. It's the gentle who persevere through hardships and trials. It's the gentle who illuminate and glorify the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice what he says in the rest of that passage, verses 3 through 7 of Titus chapter 3. He says, "For we ourselves, we were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Paul says that we should strive for this attitude of gentleness because we ourselves have been treated gently in our own life. We were once foolish, he says. We were once disobedient. We were once enslaved to all kinds of various pleasures and lusts and passions that reflected our sinful nature and our flesh, carrying this anger and hatred and bitterness in our hearts. In other words, he's saying, once before we put on the new self and came to relationship with Jesus Christ, we were the very opposite. We displayed the very opposite of this kind of gentleness, this kind of disposition. But even in the midst of that, even in the midst of our rebellion and our selfishness and our depravity, we were treated gently by the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior, who saved us by His grace. Jesus Christ is the ultimate pattern of this kind of gentleness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, Jesus is referred to as the power of God and the wisdom of God. He's referred to as the wisdom of God. So notice with me what James says concerning the wisdom of God from above in chapter 3, verses 17 through 18 of the book of James. He says in verse 17, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." He says that wisdom is revealed through gentleness, and gentleness is revealed through Jesus Christ, who is the living picture of this kind of gentle stability that all of us are striving for. He's our pattern. He's our model, the one that we're attempting to imitate. Notice with me what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 2. We're talking about the book of Hebrews in our Thursday morning class, and we looked at this this past Thursday, and if you're going to be there this Thursday, we're going to go back to this verse and dive into it a little more deeply and look at all the richness within it. I want to bring out a few points here about the gentleness of Jesus. In verse 2, he says, "He can deal gently." That's the priests in general, priests after the order of Aaron, the Levitical priesthood. "He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness." So the Hebrew writer here says that since a Levitical priest under the old covenant after the order of Aaron has the capability to deal gently with those to whom he's ministering, how much more do you think Jesus Christ, our great, great High Priest, literally in the Greek, and we're going to talk about that if you're in the class, by the way. That's a very important point. Jesus Christ, our great, great High Priest, has the capability to be gentle with his people, even more so than all of the priests after the order of Aaron under the law of Moses. In the tribe of Levi. Notice in what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, backing up just a little bit. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Verse 14 says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In all honesty and truth, there is not one person in this world who knows exactly, I'm talking about exactly how you feel in your specific pain and weakness. There's no one in this world who knows exactly how you feel, because we all have different experiences. We all have different measures of pain and experience life to different degrees. There's not one person in this world who knows and understands to a T your exact griefs, your sorrows, your temptations, your weaknesses, your afflictions, your losses, except for Jesus Christ. He knows exactly how you feel. He, as your great, great high priest, can sympathize with all of your weaknesses, with all of your temptations, with all of your struggles and hardships and trials. And he possesses the full capability and the willingness to be gentle with you in the midst of all of that. In every part of your life, he knows just how you feel, and he deals, as your faithful high priest, he deals gently with you. This is the disposition of God himself: gentleness, graciousness, moderation, reasonableness. Notice what Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 says. Says concerning Jesus. Jesus says himself, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus says here, "Learn from me. Take what you've seen in me and pattern your life after that." He says, "See my gentleness. See how I've treated my people. See how I continue to treat my people and minister to them in the heavenly places. And everything you do, all of your interactions with people, imitate that. How I deal with my people in graciousness, in mercy, with all gentleness." Many people understand gentleness not as a sign of strength, but rather as this sign of weakness. That's how a lot of people view a gentle, quiet, calm spirit, the kind of disposition that Paul is commanding us to emulate in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Many people in the world view that kind of gentleness as a sign of weakness. However, gentleness is not a sign of weakness. It's rather a show of spiritual stability and strength. It shows that we are spiritually stable in Jesus Christ. I want to read a quote from you from an article that I consulted while I was preparing for this lesson. I thought this was very insightful. This writer says, "Weak men," and this was the context of this article. He's directing it toward men, but I think we can, all of us, men and women both, can glean some wisdom from this. But he says, "Weak men are often preoccupied with showing and talking about their strength. Truly strong men, however, give their energy and attention not to showing off their strength, but to demonstrating their gentleness," he says. "They are able to rightly exercise their manifest power for others' good." He says, "Insecure men flex and threaten. Men who are secure in their strength and the strength of their Lord are not only willing but eager to let their gentleness be known to all men." this kind of Jesus-like gentleness, it's not puny. It's not weak. That's not the kind of gentleness that we're talking about. Gentleness, it doesn't reveal that you're some kind of a sissy or that you're somebody that has no backbone in your life. It takes courage. It takes a courageous person to be gentle. It takes great fortitude to restrain your emotions at times and display a disposition of meekness, of kindness to all those around you. It was gentleness, remember. It was the gentle, loving kindness of Jesus Christ that sent him to the cross. That took courage. That took fortitude. That took strength. And it's that kind of gentle courage that we all need to allow people to see in us as we reflect the nature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul says in the next part of the verse. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, continuing on in the New American Standard, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men," he says. Gentleness, it should be a defining attribute of God's people. We should be a people that pursue this kind of spiritual, Jesus-like gentleness. It should be a defining characteristic in our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Jesus, how we treat each other, how we deal with each other, with this spirit of gentleness, of moderation, of reasonableness. And it should also be a defining character trait in the presentation of ourselves to the world, to the lost, to the dying, to those that don't know Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says here. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men, both Christians and non-Christians. I want you to ask yourself this. Have you ever asked yourself, how do I come across to other people in my interactions with others and my dealings with people? How do people perceive me? Am I argumentative in my interactions with those that I come in contact with? Am I confrontational? Do I make people maybe feel a little uneasy or anxious? Or am I gentle with all people? And I believe that that's a very important question for every single one of us to ask, because Paul here commands us by the authority of Jesus Christ that we are to imitate this kind of gentle spirit and broadcast it to the world. Because when we do, when other people see in us this gracious, this moderate, this tender, this kind, this reasonable, rational, trustworthy, gentle spirit, then that communicates to all people around us, specifically the lost, that we aren't against you. We're for you. We want to make it clear that we are on your side. We have your best interest at heart. We want to see you in heaven with us so that you may experience the joy for an eternity that we ourselves experience. That's what we communicate to the world, to the lost, when we embrace this disposition of gentleness that we see through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An expression of the gentleness of God is His, as it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, is His desire to see all people saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's an expression of His own gentleness. And we, as His people, need to express the same kind, the same nature of gentleness, and let it be known to all men that the Lord is near. And that's what Paul alludes to next. Look with me there. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near." Last verse tonight, James chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. Notice what James says here. "You also be patient. Establish your hearts." Very similar to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. "For the coming of the Lord is at hand. Don't grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." James here in James chapter 5, verses 8 through 9, essentially says the same thing that Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Stand firm. Establish your hearts. Because why? Why should we stand firm? Why should we grow in our spiritual stability? Because the Lord is at hand. Because He's coming, and He's coming soon. That's why, brothers and sisters, that it's so imperative for us to grow, continually grow in our level of spiritual stability by growing in this kind of gentle spirit, because souls are at stake. Jesus could return at any moment, and we as God's people, we need to be heralding the truth each and every opportunity that we have by our actions and by our attitudes of gentleness to the lost world. That's how we communicate, one of the ways that we communicate the blessed nature of God Himself to those around us that don't know Him, that are lost and separated from Jesus Christ. The gentleness that we learn, that we see in Christ Himself. That's what Paul tells us here. Let our gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is near. He says, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all. The Lord is here. The Lord is at hand." That's how we grow in our spiritual stability. We imitate this spirit of moderation, this spirit of reasonableness, this spirit of gentleness and graciousness, the same spirit that we see within Jesus Christ. And we let all men know around us that we are spiritually secure in Him. And when we do that, we magnify the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you have any need, if you wish prayers, or if you wish to know Jesus Christ in relationship and you don't currently, you can come forward and be immersed with Him in baptism. If you have any need tonight, why don't you come forward as we stand and as we sing?